if you believe assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener. Because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Morning, everybody. Glad you're here joining with me. So, how was your weekend, man? This is good stuff. Had Daytona, lots of racing going on. Man, I love NASCAR. Love watching all the races I can. I'm in L.A. today. I'm in Los Angeles, California. Already feeling my rights stifled. Just having entered into the California border. You know, I got to tell you, where I live in Pahrump, Nevada, Pahrump has a couple of highways that go right into California. Literally, the town borders California. If I actually go out, as the crow flies from my house, the border's probably about 7 or 8 miles. To actually drive there, the closest way is actually across a dry lake bed. I'm probably 9 or 10 miles, actually, from the California border. Not quite far enough, in my opinion, because I get legislated from cradle to grave in this fine state, tongue-in-cheek. However, today, we're going to be doing an interview a little bit later in the show with the fellow that I've known for the last few years by the name of Todd Bergen of Freedom Fighter Tactical, who specialize in tactical gear and accessories specifically for the Benelli M4 shotgun, or if you have an older version, it might be the 1014 Benelli shotgun, the Marine Corps shotgun. It was built to their specs and available out there. When it comes to semi-automatic defensive shotguns, there is no finer. I own one. As a matter of fact, I own one of the original version 1014s. Todd owns a couple of them. Great guy. And the reason I mention all this dealing with California is it's a California company. Todd actually lives, I think it's in Irvine, California, if memory serves correct. And I see him out in Nevada often training. Good guy. His brother Ty, who I believe lives in Texas, is a partner in the business. So Todd's going to be calling in a little bit later in the show, and we're going to talk about Freedom Fighter Tactical, some of the incredibly unique accessories and materials used for the Benelli M4 shotgun. Now, if you've listened to this show at all in the past, you know when it comes to tactical shotguns, I am one of those guys that is really into a good, proper tactical shotgun. If you're going to go with a semi-auto, defensive tactical shotgun, there is no finer than the Benelli M4. There's just not. It is a little bit heavier of a gun. However, it is a fantastic gun. It'll run absolutely anything and absolutely everything on an inertia system. You can even mount an optic if you want. I'm not that kind of guy to mount an optic on a shotgun. However, you can if you like. You can put an optic on the thing. Like a red dot, something quick acquisition, very good stuff. Anyhow, I have one of the signature pieces from Freedom Fighter on my tactical shotgun, and I love it. It happens to be one of the bolt knobs for the action. So anyhow, Todd's going to be on the show a little bit later today. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about a situation in the Great Britain where rights are stifled. What happened with the guy who defended his family? Stay tuned. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes is live. 1-800-313-9443. Welcome back, everybody. I want to talk to you a little bit about a self-defense situation in jolly old England, in Great Britain. Now, keep in mind that they are not British citizens, they are British subjects. All right? So, the right to self-defense, the natural human God-given birthright to self-defense, has been stifled in jolly old England. You cannot defend yourself. You certainly can't defend yourself with a gun, but you cannot defend yourself. Listen to this story. Cleared was a father who chopped off an intruder's ear with a samurai sword after the intruder threatened to rape and kill the father's family. A father who defended his family from drug-crazed thugs by wounding one with a samurai sword has been cleared by a jury. He was actually prosecuted. Listen to this. David Fuller, 47, was prosecuted for attacking the two strangers who forced their way into his home and threatened to rape his girlfriend and kill his two teenage children. Obviously, this is written by one of the sadistic socialist leftist reporters in jolly old England. Not even referring to his girlfriend as girlfriend, referring to his girlfriend as his partner. Now, I don't know. Maybe this woman I saw a picture of, maybe they're in business together, and I'm reading this incorrectly. Partner. How to partner? Partner is a term used for gay couples. This guy has a girlfriend. What is this partner thing? Friggin' England. Continuing. Fullard insisted he was a desperate man acting legally in self-defense and struck out once with the ornamental sword because it was the only weapon at hand. Now, acting legally in self-defense, you have no self-defense legalities in England. You just don't. The blow almost sliced off the ear of Michael Sievers, one of the thugs. The prosecution refused to accept that his actions amounted to lawful self-defense and argued it was, quote, over the top to attack a man armed with a knuckle duster, whatever that is, by using a battlefield weapon in describing the samurai sword. The two thugs were both high on a cocktail of drink and drugs at the time, the court heard. But after a five-day trial at Hull Crown Court, Mr. Fullard, a builder, broke down in tears as he was found not guilty of unlawful wounding. Can you believe this? This is considered a civilized society in England. It ended a nine-month ordeal for a man described by neighbors as honest and caring, as he faced the threat of a long prison term had he been convicted. Now, keep in mind, a lot of the people in this country, in the government, legislators, and judges, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, believe that we should look at the laws of the world when we considering American law. We should look at laws of the world when adjudicating the laws in America. And most often they look to Western Europe. These people! A couple of drug-crazed a-holes bust into your house, threaten to rape and kill your family. You slice off a guy's ear with a samurai sword, and you're prosecuted. Could you imagine if that happened here in this country? Hell hath no fury. Like a man told by his government, he can't be armed when it comes to this particular man. Now, the case represents another landmark in the debate over how far a householder should be allowed to go in defending his home from an intruder. Defending his home? He was defending lives. A couple days ago, jobless Sievers, 22, and Michael Smith, 19, escaped with a suspended prison sentence and 100 hours of community work after admitting a fray at the court. These are the two guys that busted in and said, we're going to rape and kill you. suspended prison sentence, 100 hours of community work. But the guy that stopped him was facing years in prison for stopping him. Can you imagine? Judge Michael Metyer then lifted a reporting restriction on the case. A judge can actually tell, you know, there is no freedom of the press. A judge can say, no, you can't talk about this. This is supposed to be a free country. England is far from a free country. Not even close. When the great Michael Savage is not allowed in the country of England for speaking his mind in this country, you know that England, Great Britain, is nowhere near a free state. It is a police state. They are subjects. The reason they're subjects is they are unarmed. You cannot be a subject and have a gun. You're a citizen then. You want to be a subject like these guys? Listen to your government and give up your guns. If you don't, hold on to them, train with them, learn to use them, be prepared to use them. Outside court, Mr. Fullard criticized the judge for allowing the man to get away with a, quote, slap on the wrist. Well, good for you. He added, quote, you cannot stand around and do nothing when someone comes to your house and starts threatening your family. Mr. Fullard has been supported throughout by his girlfriend slash partner, Susan Neal, 53, his sons Danny, 14, and Tom, 17, who were in the house during the incident in March of last year. He added, quote, I only struck one blow with the sword. If there had been a walking stick or umbrella by the door, I would have hit him with that. Even this guy is sissified. He should have drove this thing into the chest of these guys and just emptied their entrails all across the house and painted the walls with their blood. Okay, maybe not that far, but I get excited sometimes. The court held Severs and Smith, who both have previous convictions for violence, vaguely knew Mr. Fullard's elder son and knocked on the door of the family home in Borough, East Yorkshire, claiming he owed them £5, that means money, from earlier in the day, which is the ruse they used to get him to open the door. Previous convictions for violence, now suspended sentence and community service. It was a ruse to get cash from Smith, and they barged into the living room while Mr. Fullard was upstairs and threatened his girlfriend, Miss Neal. She told the jury he picked up the ornamental sword and said, do you want some of this? Or rather, do you want some of this? She said, they threatened to rape me, burn the house down, kill the kids, and kill Dave. Now, these are convicts who are doing this. Smith then ran out, and Mr. Fullard was confronted by Severs in the garden. The thug was armed with a spade and a knuckle duster. Now, a spade to me is a shovel that you garden with. Might be something in England. And a knuckle duster? What in the bloody hell, to use a British term, is a knuckle duster? Is it brass knuckles? Do you dust knuckles with a knuckle duster? These people. Mr. Fullard told the jury he picked up the sword and, quote, hit him once, and intended for the flat of the sword rather than the blade to connect. He then called police. Are you kidding me? That's like picking up a gun and hitting somebody with the buttstock of it instead of shooting them. The gun's designed to shoot somebody. The sword's designed to cut and plunge. Mr. Fullard was arrested, and only later did police arrest Smith and Severs, who had his ear reattached in the hospital. I venture to say Lorena Bobbitt could have done a much, much better job at dealing with these guys when it came to a sharp object. Even Mr. Fullard, the victim, the true victim in this deal, whose house was broken into, whose life and families' lives and well-being and home were threatened with, you know, various rape, murder, and fire, defended all of the above, and then was being prosecuted where he may have faced years in prison, where the violence-convicted ex-felons we're giving a slap on the wrist. Community service. 100 hours of community service is what they got for busting into a house, threatening the lives of four people, the rape of one, and the burning torch of a house to all. And all one of them got was his ear chopped off. Man, he got off lucky. Really, really lucky. Maybe America really is the Wild West. I really don't think so. I think it's really the sissified Western Union. I'm sorry, European Union of Western Europe. Just sissified. I mean, what kind of sissy, limey pansy would not feel good about what they had done? That's what shows, guys, years and years of the government feeding such loads of BS to the subjects of Great Britain. This guy actually believes he may have done something wrong, and if he had had something less dangerous, the authority would have used it. Unreal. Anyhow, he got off, which is the good news. Stay tuned, folks. More to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here on 2A Radio. I've been roaming around, always looking down at all I see. You can have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearm to us. Right now, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. All right, guys, welcome back. So I want to talk just for a moment. I got an email, I forget from who, about tactical lights and weapons-mounted lights. Let's talk about that a little bit. They call them tactical lights because they're small and very powerful. A lot of lumens, a lot of candle power, usually run by lithium batteries, and oftentimes with a momentary on-off switch, such as it's pressured and you can't really keep it on unless you screw the end cap on or push really hard to leave it on. Because quite honestly, when using a light in a tactical situation, not like the movies, you don't just turn it on and use it and use it and use it. You turn it on, use it for only as long as you absolutely need it. Turn it off and move. Get the hell out of the way. Because if there's going to be any incoming rounds, it's going to be to where the light last was. All right? So keep that in mind. Weapons-mounted lights. Keep in mind that with the 80-20 rule, 80% chance if you get into a shooting where you need to defend your life or that of a loved one, 80% chance it'll happen in low light to no light. So having proper light training is paramount. Having good gear, well, that's secondary. If you have the right training, you can make the crappiest, you know, Ace Hardware special, you know, C-cell, you got to smack it a few times to get it on light work. Not the best of gear. But that gear in the hands of somebody who knows how to use a light properly is better than the best gear in the hands of somebody who has no idea how to use it. People in Hollywood with TV and movies have no idea how to use a tactical light appropriately. Understand that. Don't do what you see on TV, ever, with guns. Never. Don't do it. It's not good. So the question is about applying a light actually to the gun. Well, if you're like a concealed carrier on a handgun, that light can be a little heavy, a little cumbersome. It can be difficult to find a concealment holster for a gun that is now has a light attached to it. It's easier to have a smaller flashlight somewhere else on the belt pouch or in a pocket, easily, readily accessible, that you can get to. For a home defense, a light attached to the gun is, I find, to be a good thing. I have a 10mm Glock loaded with some hot rounds and a dedicated light attached to the dust cover, the underneath part forward of the trigger guard, on the gun. And, of course, I check the bulb and the batteries regularly because at the moment I need that gun, I need it. I need it to work. I've got tritium night sights on the gun. It is good to go. That is literally attached to my bed at arm's reach. However, in a safe enough manner where somebody else can't see it and doesn't know where it is. It's just a beautiful setup. I'm not going to go into it anymore. Now, if I hear Bump in the Night, and I'm not surprised, I have my 870 tactical shotgun, my Remington 870 shotgun, with the Surefire lighted forend attached as part of the gun. So, when it comes to home defense or maybe even a vehicle gun, a light, a dedicated light attached to the gun is a good thing. Now, there's a couple different types of light bulbs that are out there. You can get these little halogen bulbs that are in there, which are very bright and good use. And then you've also got the LED. And I got to tell you, the LED technology over the last 3 or 4 years has come so far. So far. Plus, LED uses such far less of the battery-powered energy to actually work. They're fantastic. They won't break like the other bulbs. They last much longer, use far less energy, and provide a very bright, very white, very vivid light. If you have some of these older tactical lights, most of the companies, you know, like Surefire, Streamlight, oftentimes have the LED replacement heads or replacement lenses. Take your other one apart, put your new one on with the LED. They work great. I highly recommend them. Now, 3 or 4 years ago, I said, you know, in another couple of years when LED technology gets better, I'll be more interested. Well, LED technology has gotten better. In the last year, I really dig it. I have converted a few of my lights to LED technology. They're also great. These same lights are great, like for in a survival pack or if you got a 3-day pack or in the car, something like that. Something breaks down, you need a light. Well, these lights, these small, compact, lightweight LED bright lights with a couple of, you know, usually it's a pair of lithium batteries, will light the way for many, many hours. You can even get the kind that have like kind of a soft light and then a really bright one. And the soft one is great for something other than a tactical use. So you can actually use the light to read a map or look and see where you're going. And you have many, many, many hours of light available. So look into those. Streamlight and Surefire are both a couple of leading companies that have these things. You can get cheaper lights other places, but really the housings and the technology and really kind of the direction of the reflectors inside the bezels of these lights on the cheaper ones just don't match up to the better ones. Really, it's one of those you get what you pay for sort of deals. So I highly recommend these type of lights. I highly recommend on a house or defense dedicated gun in the car or something, having a weapon-mounted light. However, even more so is proper training. So, let that be your guide, guys. That's your advice for me today. Stay tuned. Todd Bergen of Freedom Fighter Tactical coming up in the next segment. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, right here from L.A. on 2A Radio.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Gun control, loved by dictators since 1917. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
If I exercise my freedom of religion, my freedom of speech, as a member of the press, my freedom of the press, how about the rights for me and some of my fellow citizens to assemble? The right to petition the government? How about things like that? If any of those were rights that I or a group of people with me could exercise, could we somehow deny another person, another American citizen, their rights? The reason I bring this up, specifically with the property rights versus your right to defend yourself. specifically your right to keep and bear arms, as it is actually spelled out in the top 10 list, known as the Bill of Rights, is this year the SHOT Show. That's the Shooting, Hunting, and Outdoor Trade Show. That is the annual gala event for the Shooting, Hunting, and Outdoor Trades Industry Trade Show here in Las Vegas. Normally held at the Las Vegas Convention Center, which is owned by the county. And they say, can't bring your guns in here. This is how you're allowed to have guns. You can't bring in a loaded gun, blah, da, 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 da. These are our rules. That's the county. That's a government entity. And one of the things they exist for is protecting our rights. This year, however, it's being held at the Sands Expo Center at the Venetian and Palazzo Hotel Casinos, owned by a corporation headed by Sheldon Adelson. Sheldon Adelson freely admits his single goal in life is to someday become the wealthiest man in the world. And at one point in time, he was in the top 10 since the economic downfall. He has slipped dramatically. He wanted to be richer than Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. Great way to look at things. I just want to be worth more money than anybody else. So he's doing it through gaming. Anyhow, Sheldon Adelson's corporation has informed all of the attendees of the SHOT Show. Now, again, it's Shooting, Hunting, and Outdoor Trades is what SHOT stands for. Gun people. That they are not allowed to have loaded guns on them. They are not allowed to secure guns, even locked up in a case, in their hotel rooms if they're staying on the property. You can display your guns during the hours of the show. Once the show is done, you can either leave your guns out, leave somebody in there to watch them all night, or they have provided a room which will be manned 24/7 by security of the Sands Expo Center and the Venetian Hotel Casino. It'll be open, accessible 24 hours a day, where you will check your guns in, place them in an area, they put a tag on the gun case or the gun, whatever it is, you get that back and forth 24 hours a day. You can do that. Now here's a question. Let's say the fecal matter makes contact with the air conditioner at high velocity in an instant, and it just hits the fan. And it's late at night. Some of these guys are out, and they're like, you know what? The Cubans have just parachuted into Las Vegas. We need to handle this, whatever it is. And they run down to grab their guns and any ammo they can find. Do you think security is going to allow them to grab their guns? Or do you think security is going to say, oh, no, 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 no. We don't want a firefight on our property. We're not letting you guys get your stuff. So now somebody, while you're on their property, are denying others their rights to get their property, being their guns, and to exercise yet another right, the right to defend themselves. So how strong are property rights to be able to deny you, in this case now, your property rights and your right to self-defense? That baffles the mind. It baffles my mind. If you have a place which is not open to the public, you own it. You're an individual. You own it. You and your family own it, something like that. You're living, breathing people. Not a corporation. Not a trust. Even if it is a corporation or a trust, it's not open to the public. Your home, your homestead, your ranch, your farm, your condominium in the, I don't know, up at Vail, Colorado. In that case, I would say, and this is just my opinion, I am not a legal scholar. I'm just a genius, brilliant individual. That's all I am. I am merely a brilliant genius and see things clearly. That's all. I am not a legal scholar. I have not lowered myself to being a legal scholar. All of this in jest. Somewhat. So, with that being said, I would say if someone owns a home and they invite me into their home, into their castle, their domain, and they tell me, I would prefer, if you're going to stay here, that you not wear your gun in my home. I'd honor that. I'd honor that by, you know, if they invited me to dinner, taking it to go and leaving. But I would honor that. I would not stay in their home with a gun if they didn't want me to. I probably wouldn't go back to their home, but I would honor that, and I would not give them any guff and say, fine. I might, you know, discuss it with them a little bit, but if that were the end result, I would say, this is your property. You have rights to this property. I will honor your wish. Because they can exercise that on their own property in their castle, as I could do at my home. Somebody comes in wearing a turban and they've got Muhammad embroidered on their jacket or on the front of their turban. That's not exactly something that I would like to have in my home. So I would politely say to that person, as politely as I could muster, you know, we are not Muslim in this home, and being as how it is my home, I would prefer that if you are going to remain here, you take all of that specific Muslim-related religious garb that you're wearing and tie it back onto the satchel, put it back into the satchel upon your camel, which is grazing in my yard out front. By the way, I'd like you to pick up any camel dung that he may leave on my front lawn when you go. And I would ask them to do that, and I would expect them to honor it. If not, I'd kick them the hell out of my house. Just like if someone said, look, you know, I appreciate that you carry a gun. I just don't want it in my home because, you know, I've got, you know, kids or grandma or whatever. You know, I can honor that. It's their castle. Their home is not open to the public. However, once a building is open to the public, it's open for business. Anybody can go in there. You don't have to pay a cover charge. You know, it's even if you do pay a cover charge, all you have to do is come up with money and you can get in. Big deal. Then, how is it that they can say you're not allowed the right to self-protection? Could you imagine if someone owned a business and within that business they put up their no Christians allowed. My God, how that would be portrayed in the lamestream media. No Christians allowed. You're not allowed to come into this store and shop. You're not allowed to come into this museum and look around. That would be a big deal. That would really make a lot of news and piss a lot of people off. There'd be signs, there'd be pickets, there'd be ACLU, Southern Poverty Law Center, there'd be all of these different groups coming out for, against, whatever it is, right? It would be a big, big deal. But, and that's just because you're exercising your freedom of religion. Well, they don't want you to exercise that right inside their store or museum or whatever it is. But if they take away your Second Amendment right, tell you you can't defend yourself in here, you can't have the tools to defend yourself in here, there's never any big uprising. There's just no uprising. I say that as I'm looking around the studio for a card. Hold on. No, it used to be there. It's not anymore. It's one of those cards that a lot of people who carry guns will actually hand out. I see one. One second. I should have done this at the last break. Okay. It has a picture of a gun with a circle around it and a line through it. and then equals a dollar sign with a circle around it and a line through it. And it says, we have noticed your sign and are going to respect your wishes by shopping elsewhere. Turn it over, and it says, as a concealed handgun license holder, I have no felony convictions lifetime. I also have no Class A or B misdemeanors within the last 5 years. I passed both state and federal fingerprint and background checks. I have no delinquent conduct within the last 10 years. And I am not delinquent in child support, student loans, or state and local taxes. And then it says at the bottom, how much do you know about your other customers? Okay, that's for somebody who's carrying concealed with a concealed handgun license in any state of the union. And they like to leave that at the doors, which is fine. I guess I'm a little bit more, considering how mouthy I am, a little bit more quiet about it. I see that and I'm like, you know, go pound sand. I might write them a letter. I don't carry those cards with me. They're here in the studio. Somebody sent some to Dave Champion, and he left them up on the counter behind me. So I have to ask you, how do you look at this? Any of you out there that are business owners or managers, do you happen to have such a sign up there? Or if you did have a sign up there and the courts finally ruled, you know, you might have that sign up there, but if you are open to the public, unless you are otherwise part of, you have to be a private club or a private, you have to be a member to get in. If you have to, if it requires some sort of membership, not just public admittance, I can see people saying, all right, I don't have to be a member of this place. Again, you don't have to shop there. But if I am going to be a member, I will abide by the rules and bylaws, much as if you join a country club. You'll abide by the rules and bylaws to be a member because they set them out to do that. Kind of like if you join a gun club, right, that has a range. You agree to abide by the rules and bylaws, which it's really interesting. The whole thing with gun clubs. The one place where you are almost certain to never be allowed to walk around with a loaded gun is at a gun range. How freaking stupid is that? How miserably stupid is that? That's like not being able to walk around a putting course with your balls. You just can't. No balls allowed on the putting course. You cannot bring your golf balls out here. We will supply the balls to you once you reach the fringe. And once you're done putting, you must return them. You cannot leave the fringe of the putting green with your balls and head back to your golf cart and then go off to the first tee. You're not allowed to do that. You've got to check them in. You got to check them out. Or check them out and then check them back in, rather. How stupid would that be? Well, that's not too far off the way things happen at gun ranges. How many of you belong to a gun range where you're allowed to carry around a loaded handgun in a holster? Or transport your rifle in a safe manner from point A to point B, say slung, muzzle up or muzzle down, loaded, or a shotgun? You're not. I don't know of any gun range that has that. Reason is, these gun ranges have to worry about liability, right? They have to worry about all that garbage. I'll give you a perfect example. One of the stupidest things, in my humble opinion, I used to be the lead range master out at Front Sight. And I left there, I don't know, it's been close to a year and a half now. So one of the things, after, you know, like the afternoon of day two, getting into day three, they'll actually load people up and you'll carry your gun hot. Up to that point, once you leave the line for the first day and a half into the afternoon of day two, when you're done doing an exercise, they have you unload, holster, turn around. Before they clear the line, you're leaving with an unloaded gun. It's a cold range. After a day and a half, a couple days worth of training, they would load you up and you'd leave the line hot. They just tell you, don't goof with a gun. Tell you're on the line under the direction of staff, leave your gun in the holster, don't goof with it. Well, as it turns out, sometime after I left, maybe a year or more ago now, somebody went into one of the porta. They don't have any bathrooms there. They have the porta cans. So somebody went into one of the porta cans and took the gun off and set it down. Now, there's little sinks in the porta cans that have obviously a different supply of water. Put a gun in there. And when they were sometime either taking the gun out of the sink or putting it in at some point in time, finger went on the trigger and bam, negligent discharge, and it shot through the porta can. Now, that's the first time through probably 100,000 people that have been through that facility that anything like that's ever happened. All right? So what did they do? Now, you're not allowed to leave the safety and security of the range itself with a loaded. You're not allowed to go to the bathroom, which is really, they tell you specifically, you can't go out to the bathroom with a loaded gun. You have to unload before you go to the bathroom because of that one deal. Anyhow, that's the way it goes. There's more to come after the break, guys. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. The 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back.
Back off, I'll take you on. Headstrong to take on anyone. I know that you are wrong if this is not where you belong.
All right, guys, I would encourage everyone to check out a little website. It's www.a-human-right.com. A-human-right.com. You pull it up, and there are two different pictures. One shows a person holding a gun. It says a liability, and then the other picture says a useful tool. If you click on a liability, it has some questionnaires, such as my level of familiarity with firearms is, one, I am ignorant of how they function. I know the basics of gun safety. I carry for self-defense, compete, or hunt. I am a firearms instructor. I know how guns function from watching TV. Next question. I would prefer that my kids learn about guns and safety from the mass media, such as television, classmates, Army or National Guard drill sergeant, coach at school, a certified instructor, me or my spouse. It says, before completing the poll, please remember that possession of firearms by felons is already illegal in the United States. Therefore, you should not suggest prohibiting criminals from having guns as a solution. The law already does that. We have also seen that the laws are not very effective in preventing possession. Do consider, however, the effects of your suggestions on you personally. One, it is morally correct for a police officer to shoot in order to save an innocent victim from an attack, yes or no? If no police officer is present, it is morally correct for the innocent victim to shoot to protect the self or dependents from an attack, yes or no? And it goes on and on. If you click on the banner that says a useful tool, it says self-defense, a basic human right, something we spoke about early in today's show. Few issues have been more hotly debated recently than gun ownership. On one side are those who will wish that guns be gone. On the other, millions who would fight to keep them. No matter which side of the debate you are on, read on. You might glean some insight or just be entertained. And it goes through many different links, such as fight, flight, or surrender. Also, depending on others, let's see, wearing arms, home defense, real guns, martial arts, technology of firearms, all kinds of stuff. So, I just would like to recommend that folks go and check that out. Again, it is a-human-right.com. You'll enjoy it. If nothing else, any anti-gun people or simply gun-ignorant people would enjoy perusing through that, and you might be able to get something through their thick skull. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you, and Congress, the executive, and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Folks, stay tuned for the Lenman News Hour coming up next, followed by Ernest Hancock and plenty more good RBN programming.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will Your Freedoms? The Two-Way Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.